Welcome to Must Watch with Wine, a recap podcast covering reality dating shows that you have to watch with a glass of wine in hand. I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Alicia.
And we're your hosts. And now we are finishing up Back in the Groove. We're going to cover episodes 6, 7, and 8. So this is a mega episode you guys are getting. And this is a show allegedly with Taye Diggs.
Allegedly. I was just telling my fiance about that. Like, nope, just the commercials, episode 1.
Yeah, so anywho, but we're gonna jump into Steph, Sparkle, and Brooke's continuing search for love among these hot young men.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Which
so, oh yes.
As time went on, did you still find them all as hot, or was it just like the initial shock of hotness and like the initial wave? And now I'm just kind of like, they look a little regular. Not everybody. Not Gary. Gary, this is not about you.
This is not about Gary specifically. Well, I think also we just have like fewer to look at now.
That's true. So I keep seeing the same ones and I'm like, darn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gary, Giuseppe, them both, they're lookers.
Oh, for sure. This was a good time for Giuseppe. We'll get down to him at some point. But yeah. I have some thoughts about Giuseppe that I think
Excited to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Steven. Sorry. I know, right? I'm just listing the hot guys.
You're just going to list the whole cast.
Nope. I'm stopping there.
Okay. All right.
But we check back in with the ladies, you know, about how the checkout process has been really difficult and emotionally draining. Mm-hmm. And I, at first, was literally like, I don't even remember who they sent home, who they kept, what happened. You know, from like the continuation of last episode.
Yeah.
But they just get right on to moving forward where, you know, Steph is basically just saying how she isn't afraid of having a relationship anymore and how she's really got it bad for your boy, Leroy.
Leroy, Playboy Roy, as he called himself first episode.
Then remember that, you guys. Put a pin in that one. But yeah, and, you know, she basically talks about how she's learning herself again and she... And I felt like, you know, she was so cute, so smitten. Looks cute.
Yeah. Her and Leroy, such a roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, a lot going on there. I mean, yeah. I get it because, you know, part of it's like, wow, well, that means it's really deep and genuine. And then the other part of it is like, yeah, but in the beginning like this, I just won't be happy.
Yeah. I have some thoughts that I'll get to once we get to where their journey ends. My feelings on how they should, I guess, handle themselves.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, guys. They're really sprinkling a lot of teasers here.
Yeah, you know, because we just say everything.
Yeah.
Episode 6, 7, and 8. But go ahead.
But now then Brooke, she goes on a date and we learn that she has something very intimate, fun, and personal planned.
Mm-hmm. And she was dressed like her hot girl summer vibes. Okay.
Yes, she was. She said, all right, put on this little sexy lacy tops, my tight jeans, show a little tummy, show a little boob. I get it.
Everything.
And then Pedro goes and he pulls crew from the guy's villa and he brings her to the women's villa for a date with Brooke. And she
but
says,
wait. Uh-huh. Just for a second, I do want to back up to Matt just bragging about how, you know, he could see himself marrying her and how they kissed and all that.
Oof, Matt.
Matt, sir, you literally had one little date, but okay.
And I'm then, like, does he believe when he was saying that?
And then, but you know, he just have to, you know, big head, blow himself up, you know, whatever.
One
made out
in the pool. They just,
that's it.
They have it
and
all.
He don't even know. She didn't even enjoy it. She was just doing it for the camera.
Right.
Doing it for the drone shot. But I love it because Gary was like, well, listen, since we just talking about who got what, I am the only chocolate one here. So I do have that going for me.
My sister, she was like, don't fetishize yourself.
I know. And then he was like, but you know what? It's no longer the crew hotel. And then, of course, it was hilarious how Pedro came up and was like, I don't know why y'all thought that.
Right.
Y'all wrong. Crew is going to Brooke's spot.
I guess to like make yourself stay, you have to, I guess, convince yourself, oh, I still have
that's
a chance.
True.
Otherwise, you're just like, why am I here?
That's true. I would love to see, you know, in these types of shows, a lot more quiet confidence, though, because all this like, ooh, I'm big and bad. You know, you got to talk yourself up in the mirror.
Yeah.
But now you just embarrass yourself. That's how I feel. But hey.
I also feel like, will a quiet confidence type of person be the person who signs up for a reality date?
You're correct. They would not be caught over here.
They got to work with the pool they got.
You're right. Okay, so going back to you when he gets to Brooke.
Yeah, so he gets to Brooke and they're at the women's villa. And then she tells Crew that she wants him to do something to her tonight. And Crew's like, I'll do anything to you.
Right, anything, say it. I think I know what you're talking about. That one.
Mm-hmm. And so she takes him to another room in the villa and there's like a bed laid out. And it's like, it looks like a boom boom room. And then she says, I want you. And he's like, yes. And she's like, to give me a tattoo, which at that point I was like, no, Brooke, don't do that. Just sleep with him. Do not let this man give you a tattoo.
Like, you could get an infection. You could get an infection either way. Might as well just go all the way.
But at least, you know,
a permanent, because I mean, when she said you can't take it back, I was like, okay, that's still sex, right?
Yeah, you know, you do it. It's happened. Can't undo it.
But a tattoo.
Yeah, no.
And you had to wear that in front of everybody. And
for the rest of your life.
Let Crew remind you that he just has only been doing it for a month.
Yeah.
Baby girl. Which, this is not his expertise.
Before, if we knew that before.
We did.
Was a tattoo artist. Did we know it was only for a month?
But yes, we did know. Because remember Josh. White Josh. South African Josh. Told everybody. Crew be hopping around with his career. He ain't stable. He just started tattooing.
Okay. Yeah, I knew he had beef with him being a tattoo artist. I didn't remember that it was this recent. But yeah. So she's doing it. I was like, no, Brooke, don't do this. But she didn't care about what I had to say because she did it.
She didn't care about what you had to say, about what herself, how she already is talking about. She be making bad decisions, but here she go.
Here she go. And she said she wants him to do a firework tattoo, like the fireworks that went off on their first date.
Now, Chelsea, I heard her say that. And I looked down at the tattoo that looked like a child drawing a sun. And then they just had a line coming from it. And then she had a chance to look at this, review it before it got permanent.
Yeah.
And it's based off of their first kiss with the fireworks. So, again, a permanent status for something.
Yeah. Yes. It didn't quite read firework to me. My thing was, I wish they did it the other direction, because in the way that you would normally hold your arm up to show this tattoo,
yeah,
it was upside down. So,
None of it.
I mean, she said she loved it, which it's her tattoo, so that's all that matters.
But that's true.
I would not have suggested that. And right. If we were going to do the tattoo, I would have tried to make a few tweaks before we
right
etched it
or something just very small, not easily visible, easy to hide, also easy to heal, because they kept touching on it as if it didn't need it. I was like, is this a quick heal tattoo? I ain't never heard of, seen.
Maybe
she got no bandages over.
I got my first tattoo when I was 18, as people tend to do, just because you can. And that was a little while ago now, so maybe tattoo technology has updated, where you don't need all that little waiting time and healing time.
That could be true. I don't know. I don't have any tattoos. My fiance does. But I guess he normally gets like the big one. So therefore, he definitely has to have the bandages.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But yeah. I was just confused.
Yeah. So that was Brooke's bad decision for the night. I was like, Brooke, please.
And then Crew takes it even further and decides to tattoo himself.
Yes. And he got the little...
The castle that they were on. So I was like, it's good that it's not fully matching, although they still both have a permanent scar, if you will.
And a reminder of each other. So,
yeah.
And it's my thought
creepy
was,
for any relationship going forward.
Yeah. And my thought was the same that Sparkle and Steph have when they heard it's like, oh, so y'all getting married now, because what you finna do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So y'all joined together. That's what's happening.
Yeah. So. They both were stunned when they learned about that.
Yeah.
As we were. Okay.
But you know what?
Not my body, not my choice.
True. And she always talks about how Crew makes her feel like a giddy schoolgirl, right? So, I mean, of course, that would be her next step. Obviously. Yeah. You would absolutely, at 18, your boyfriend's a tattoo artist. Mm-hmm.
No. See, I did not do that at 18.
I mean, I'm just, I don't know. Obviously, I still don't have any tattoos. I'm just saying, if. Like, thinking about her mentality.
Yeah. Yeah, I did say to my husband after I watched a bunch of these episodes, I said, it's so weird because she reacts to relationships very much in, like, a way of a much younger person. Like, not even, like, a 30-year-old, like a teenager, early 20-something.
Yeah.
That's so very interesting to watch because she's a whole, what, 42?
42. And I think, or 40, Yeah, 42. Star Girl's 43. No, better. Steph is 41.
Okay, it's 42 because they're Sparkle's in order.
43. Yep. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I and that's why I'm wondering, oh, is that why she was dating younger guys regularly? Because like their energies match on that level. Not to say that she's not a successful woman and, you know, and mature. I was trying to say and mature in case that came across as immature. But right. Like she definitely plays to like the 22-year-old.
Yeah. And, you know,
but again, she's able to have fun and enjoy life. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
She's able to. I was just, I don't know why I was surprised still. But yeah, that's cool.
Because it's such a dramatic thing. Like, you know, a tattoo is forever.
Well, yeah. And then they keep talking about like, oh, they want maturity in men. But you know what? That might just be Sparkle and Steph. I don't know if Brooke ever said that she wanted a mature man.
Hmm. Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah.
We're going to go back and listen to all the episodes.
I know, right? Josh was right.
Sorry, man. I laughed harder.
I mean, you know, he went out all bad like that for no reason. Yeah. But at least, you know, guess what? He dodged a bullet. He was 24. Crew's like 31.
Yeah.
So, but Steph invites Leroy over and he immediately runs in. Oh, booty call. Booty call.
And he rubbed her booty as he gave her a hug.
I miss that. Yeah, I mean, I do love a booty rub. So
yeah, that's something your man does. It's not just like any old dude.
Yeah, that's true. I ain't just any old.
Yeah,
he's hers. But she talks about how, you know, she hasn't been intimate for a while, and that, you know, obviously, and child. So they just, you know, having a little cuddly, cutesy kissing time. You know, Brooke already had her, you know, extra special time. She on the bed with Crew kissing, and they show Sparkle sleep.
Sparkle, she did not mess with all this stuff. She said, I need to rest.
Exactly. And apparently, child, Brooke didn't get back home until 3 a.m.
3 a.m. They was like, what?
Yeah.
So that makes you wonder. It was like, were we just tattooing?
I would absolutely not think so. But, you know, they keep playing to it, alluding to it, and like then saying, you know, nothing happened. So who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, if you did more than tattoo, do you? You grown just.
Exactly. We just thought you would tell us since you're telling us everything else.
Right. All right. And so now it's the next day. And at the guys' villa, all of them were talking about how they want Giuseppe to go on a date just so he can get out the house. And then so Steph comes over and she asks him on a date and they all cheer for him. They're like, yeah,
it's happening.
But then she takes out Quinn and Leroy too. Leroy was funny. He was like, I gotta cheer for myself because no one's gonna cheer for me at this point.
That was funny. Yeah.
But they go to a beach, they have fun, they're like playing Connect Four, drinking beers, like real chill. And Giuseppe pulls her to talk. And then he tells her that she has a great son. Everyone's just like, you're such an awesome mother. And then we learn some stuff about Giuseppe. We learn that he grew up homeless and was abandoned by his mom at 14. And he hasn't seen her since.
That was huge.
Yeah. And I love his, I guess, like perspective or view on life. So he said, because of those things, he doesn't take anything for granted. And he honestly is like, just so happy to be there and like really appreciates the opportunity. And I was like, he just seems like an all around good person. And this was when I made my middle note. I wish you would
have got to know him sooner.
Yeah. That Giuseppe, I don't necessarily wish this on people, but I think he'll be a perfect person for The Bachelorette. I see that all for him, and I feel like he'd go far too. Let me DM him.
Why though? Yes, in the sense of like telling a story, being vulnerable, being open and ready for love, but I'm just thinking about the trauma that's going to come with that for him.
Well, yeah, that's true. Everyone there has to deal with emotional torture, but that's part of the fun.
Oh man. Oh, Giuseppe, we wish big things for you, but scared.
Yeah. If you want to, you know, go on there. I think you could do well, but yeah, have just a therapist number nearby.
Just be ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, I could see that for him. I could see him going far, maybe even next Bachelor. If it ever happened, I could see that first.
And I would think that obviously if everybody there is being genuine, or at least one or two people, then that it would be a good experience and that he would actually leave with someone.
Yep.
And be getting married.
Yep. So Giuseppe, it can happen for you.
It can happen.
Next, Steph talks to Quentin, and She says that he has a lot of values and characteristics that she's aligned with, or that are aligned with what she's looking for in life. However, she's not sure they have that hot, fiery chemistry. And I was like, Quentin is the guy that she's like, oh, he's such a great guy. I know I should be dating him, but it's just not there.
He's not a bad boy. You know, and it sucks because Quentin's just showing up faithfully, happily, you know, doing all the things. And the whole like nice guys finish last type thing almost applies here, but not necessarily, because he seems to be a giver. Again, like with their first date, how he was trying to kind of clear things up with how, you know, Steven and Leroy felt about things. So I feel like a part of him could understand that he wasn't it, but he was still there to be a really great supportive person. Like, you know, the friend on the Bachelor shows.
Yeah. I think whoever ends up with Quentin, I think they'll be a happy
lady. He did a lot of emotional support for her too, which I think that plays a part in the later episodes.
Yeah. That's great to have for a partner. And then next, Leroy pulls her and they go like far off. Like the other two, they had their chat like on the beach within.
Yeah.
Not earshot, that you could see the other people. He's like, nah, we going away. They look like they were on like a cliff or a mountain or something. I don't know. But she said she couldn't sleep at night because she was thinking of him. And Leroy mentions that he is really cool with Steven, but now he has to put a boundary there because of his growing relationship with Steph. And Steph was kind of taken back by this. And she was like, Steven's the closest person to me, so why would you not want to have like a good relationship with them, with him? And Leroy said like once they have an intimate relationship, he can't, you know, just be telling all the business to Steven. And so what was your take on, I guess, like this, his stance?
I mean, I think it made sense. I mean, it's like, I don't know why she was trying to act like she couldn't understand. I know she said that she gets it a little bit, but I think when anytime someone mentions that they need to have a boundary with people in relationships, especially people's family members, I think that that's something that makes sense and should be understood. Like their relationship should be their relationship and shouldn't be like every little thing that's said or done run back to Steven for either of them, you know, when they need to work out things in their relationship. I think that sounds like shows a sign of maturity where she was like, oh, it seems immature because like you want him to be like a boy with your son and also your man. Like it's kind of
right. Okay, so I felt
while he's close to his age, it's different if he's again her age. It's a little different because there is going to be more of that respect factor there, and that, you know, father figure type.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I felt exactly the same, and I was like, I'm not sure why she's, you know, bristling at this. Like it makes sense to me. Like he didn't say he doesn't want to not talk to him
or have a relationship with him at all.
He just wants to, you know, have a fine line. He's not gonna come home and be like, yo, me and your mom last night, we, you know, I got in like, there, smashed them cheeks. Like, no, that's not but that's something I say to one of his boys or whatever.
Right.
And that's weird. So okay. So we're on the same page. But it also made me think of Steph said when she likes someone, she looks for any reason to stop liking them. So I wondered if that was her doing that, like, oh, he said he doesn't want to have a relationship with Steven, then I can't, you know, be with him. He's not mature enough for me. Which I actually think, like you said, it was a more mature way to deal with things, to notice like, okay, if I want to pursue this with her, then I have to change this relationship over here.
Yeah. And he's willing to do that. And so she's like, but you were talking to him about stuff before? Yeah. He's like, I don't get it. And I think, and I love that Steph and Steven have that great relationship, but it's one of those things where it's like, people do have to enforce boundaries on both sides. You know, her and Sparkle aren't going to be talking about all the little things that go on with, you know, her and Steven. You know, but she seems to like and support that relationship, which is also interesting.
Yeah, so good. I'm glad because I was like, maybe I'm wrong, but no, we're right.
No, we're right. We're correct, even if we're the only two who believe this.
We're the only two on the podcast, so we're right.
Yes, exactly. And then speaking of Sparkle, we get on to her date with Lee. She decides to take Lee out for a little one-on-one. He's like, see, these guys are sleeping on me. I told them, like, you know.
Very happy for cute. Lee.
Yeah, his little nervous energy is funny. But it was so cool because we get to see Sparkle open up even more than she's done, I think, even with Akio.
Yeah. First, I just want to say, who would have thought Lee would be this far along in the process?
Right. Especially after very beginning, especially after the bad rap situation. It's just so many things, literally. Anything. And she's like, Lee, you know, just be happy you're still here all those other times. But I think that they also built that like emotional relationship similar to Steph and Quentin, mm-hmm. where like they do have like some sort of emotional bond, even if it's not on a, the relationship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so she talks about how her sister was a victim of domestic violence and murdered, and her oldest sister found her, and how there's like a huge, you know, age gap between her and her sisters. And so she kind of was always similar, somewhat like the only child in the sense with her mom, and her mom raising her as a single mom, and they mm-hmm. moved to Georgia. And that's where Sparkle basically like doing a neighbor's kid's hair and making money off of it.
Yes, sister at 8 years old.
Yeah, ended up like sparking like this love and also just like this whole just whatever it was business. Even if it wasn't love, it was just something that she was actually actively doing mm-hmm. where she had her own hairstyling business, you know, and by word of mouth in the neighborhood. And she's booked up by the time, you know, she's in middle school, high school, and she's also able to pay for things for herself and get herself a car, get herself her own place to, you know, live. And
yeah.
And it's crazy how she was doing all of these things, being so self sufficient to where when she got married young at 22 and also had a child.
She got married at 19.
So sorry. Married at 19, had a child at 22, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then like being a young mom, young wife and business owner, trying to balance all of those things. And then she said she ended up losing herself. And that's crazy because that's, you know, that's something that really happens. And it's not as if she only had her business for 20 years. She's had it for much more since she started it.
Her whole life, essentially.
Yeah. And so it makes sense that she took this moment to be like, I'm taking a step back from my business, from working so hard, from always, you know, worrying about succeeding, if you will, and, mm-hmm. and having this, that, and the other, and to finally just being able to relax, have fun, be light, and have some love.
Yeah. And I think because she said a lot of it, when she was growing up, she kind of felt like she was raising herself because her mother was dealing with depression after the passing of her sister, which is understandable. And she said like her mom was still present, but she just wasn't able to be there emotionally. So she was kind of like adulting, quote unquote, mm-hmm. since she was a child. And that's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that she had this opportunity to just kick back, have a good time, and do something for a sparkle.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. And then we fast forward to the little cocktail party. Is that what we decided to call it?
No. but now I can't remember.
the little gathering.
Darn. Yeah. Just they're gathering their happy hour. I don't know. I'll mm-hmm. have to look back at my notes.
Yeah. Mixer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the mixer before the checkout ceremony. And so Gary, he said that he wants to show Brooke that he can be a romantic guy. So he pulls her aside and he shows her this charcuterie board that he made her.
So cute.
And he said he's never done that before. And then the interview producer asked if he's seen one of these before. And he was like, in paintings and at white people parties.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I was like, that's funny. But his charcuterie board was interesting because, you know, he had the traditional stuff like the meat and the cheeses. And then there was like Oreos on the side, which I'm very pro Oreos. So I'm fine with that. Yeah. But it was an interesting choice.
Listen, you can do whatever you want with a charcuterie board. I'm so tired of people acting like it has to be one way.
They do make a lot of different kinds now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I'll be really down for like a dessert charcuterie board.
Yes, definitely. I've made even a wings like charcuterie board before. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
Sounds very like Super Bowl party.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Always that. Any kind of football game, really. Just you know, just add extra. Yeah. So never just the standard. But one thing you have to have standard, sorry, getting away from this, is the honeycomb. You have to have the honeycomb. It's in some sort of dark chocolate added to the mix with some fruit and the rest of the charcuterie. Amazing. Fantastic.
Smoked
cheddar. Oh, gosh. Okay.
So you guys jot that down for your next party.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Gotta have it. And then let me know what you think about it.
Then when Gary and Brooke are talking, something like flies in Brooke's face. And they said it was a bat. Were they kidding or were they for real?
They showed bats after the fact, so I think it probably was.
That's wild.
Yeah, but I was like, you know, a different part of the country, you know, I believe it. I don't know.
Yes, yeah, maybe. But I was like, they just kind of kept, you know, going like, oh, yeah, it was a bat.
It's okay. It's all right. Okay. They went home. Nope. I'd be in the house somewhere.
Right? Okay. Steph says she wants to talk to Steven to basically like help her figure out where her head is at. They chat and Steven, she tells Steven that the vibes with Leroy's are good, but she's not sure if he's mature enough. And Steven is like, well, he's one of, you know, the most genuine and down to earth guys here. So he seems like a good dude. And then yeah. she asks about Quentin and he says that he has good character and he has uncle vibes.
Yeah.
But he said at the end of the day, he trusts her judgment, which I think she was kind of looking for him to like give her an answer, like pick this one versus that one. And I like that he didn't kind of left it to her because, you know, I'm sure he likes whoever he likes friend wise, but mm-hmm. you're going to be the one dating him unless like one of them is a terrible person. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to figure that out in your heart yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's the other thing where I was saying, like, a little bit of codependent, if you will, like, not to make it negative, but sometimes mm-hmm. it can be.
Yeah.
Or keep you from making a decision or a decision all on your own.
Yeah. And I wonder, since she had him so young, I'm sure pretty much all of her decisions or a lot of them were very Steven-centered.
True, true.
Which,
true,
I mean, true. I guess most parents are like that anyway. But I kind of feel like it's almost different when you have them younger because kind of like a you and me against the world.
And we're growing up together, learning mm-hmm. together, all that, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I like Steven. He's very mature for his age. I like that he gave her the space to kind of be like, yo, that one's on you. You gotta figure
yeah.
it out.
Yeah, he's like... And he's even doing the boundary thing without it mm-hmm. saying it. He's just doing that.
Right. Because it could have been like, Leroy's my bestie, pick him or whatever. But
right. No. You know, anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now here's where it starts to get messy, y'all. So we learned that Matt wrote a song for Brooke. And so he pulls her because, you know, he's excited to share it with her. And before he can get into his song, she spills a little bit of a wine and he wipes it off for her. And then he notices... Is that a new tattoo? And Brooke is like, yeah. So Crew gave it to me on our date last night. And Matt's face, he didn't like rage or anything, but he's like, yo, what the heck is going on here? Like, he's yeah. giving her tattoos. Like, why am I even here?
No. And honestly, like, I didn't even expect Matt to have that type of reaction because I wasn't sure how into Brooke he was. But it is definitely like a disrespectful type of thing.
It's
like,
real wild.
Also, it really could have been something that was even hidden on top of that. Like, sure, they could have talked about it, but, you know, if they weren't going to talk about it, she could have had a Band-Aid on, you know. Mm-hmm. But, of course, they needed it for the drama. They needed it for that kind of aspect. And it just made me sad a little bit because I know how these shows do with the manipulation and stuff. But it was also interesting to see the different side of Matt being like, yo, that's not cool. What's up? Mm-hmm. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. And then, perfect timing, Crew walks over. And mm-hmm. then he's like, all right, yeah, here, you got it, obviously. And Matt goes and tells Gary, like, yo.
Did you know this was happening, bro?
Yeah, and like, Gary's like, got a tattoo.
Gary's reaction was also a little funny, a little, like, interesting. He's like, I mean, bro code, man, like, bro code. Like, did Crew owe him that? No. But,
yeah, I was thinking, I was like, I think the bro code is, like, not to, like, you know, well, one, not to date the girl you like, but y'all are already doing that.
Y'all are already doing that. Y'all are already kissing the same girl. Y'all already, you know, hoping to sleep with the same girl. Like, y'all are already doing everything in your relationships to get the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even know that the girl asked for this from him. It was something yeah. that he even...
Yeah, so I don't know if Crew necessarily owed it to him. But I could see kind of being, like, just taken back. Not even... Not to put words in Gary's mouth. I don't even think he was necessarily... taken aback or upset that Crew did it. I think it's just kind of like the shock of it all and not like the shock to place his emotions. And Crew was yeah. right there. And he's not going to go yell at Brooke because that's, you know, not cool.
Of course. So he was like, I would have rather heard from you than her. But why? Does it
and
matter?
Also, you didn't hear from her. You heard it from Matt.
Yeah. You didn't hear nothing. She wasn't going to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But either way, and I guess this kind of just shows like, dang, I thought I had a chance. And now I absolutely do not. Crew returns to the group and someone's like, why didn't you tell him, bro? And then Crew's like, I came here to find love in a woman. He was like, I didn't come here to, you know, get a bro. I came here to find a relationship. And then some of the other guys, you should have told him though. And he's like, okay, I guess whatever. And then I thought this was funny. Crew was like, well, he made a charcuterie board, didn't tell me. And Giuseppe right. was like, now a tattoo and a charcuterie board are bit not different. The same.
Bit different.
I was like, thank you for being a voice of reason, Giuseppe. All right. And now it's checkout time. So staying, we have Leroy for Steph, Steven for Sparkle, Crew for Brooke, Quentin for Steph, Akio for Sparkle, Gary for Brooke, and then looks like that's it. And then Steph tells Giuseppe that she's not ready for him to leave and wants him to stay and see if there's something there. And then Sweet Lee, you know, this is the end of his time. And Sparkle, she kind of tells him, like, you know, you're really great. Thank you for opening up your heart to me. And you're such a good person. And you're going to make someone happy. And he tears up and he tells her how wonderful she is. And I was like, he just really seems like a sweet and genuine person. Like, good guy, Lee. I'm sad to see him go. Before, he was like, you know, kind of a joke character, for lack of a better word. But then after a while, you're like, oh, no, I like Lee. He's a good guy.
He's doing all right there.
Yeah. All right. Now it's episode 6. Now we roll right into 7. And Pedro lets us know that it's an important date. And before the women enter the future, they must deal with the past. And then we get a dramatic countdown clock and learn that it's 72 hours until final checkout.
I like that they gave us finally like that kind of time.
Yeah.
We really hadn't known what the process was going to look like.
Right. And then I thought this was interesting. As I was watching it, I was like, if the final checkout's today, then what is the last episode?
Then what?
Yeah. Although I like how they did the last episode. We'll talk about
it. I do too. There.
Crew talks to Steven and says that he has no regrets about not telling Gary about the tattoo. So he's standing in his position.
Right.
Then we go back to the women's villa. And once again, Steph says she wants to have fun. And she asks Sparkle if she wants to go. And I'm like, y'all keep leaving out Brooke. Once again, Brooke is right there.
I know. And they're like, girl, we already know you're doing your own thing. Uh-huh. I was like, Lord, they going to do. I mean, they had already clowned Steven before about, you know, he was on a family, you know, outing before, not a real date. And once again,
there he is out with mom and his girl or whatever.
Yeah, and they call each other sis. It's hilarious.
When she said she wanted to bring Steven, I said, has Steven pulled ahead in this little, you know, competition for Sparkle's heart?
Starting to be that way. I was actually writing that, you know, Akio seems to be like fading in the distance. Like they still have their relationship, but we are not seeing it.
Yeah. Interesting.
So what happened there?
Right. Yeah, they go to the men's villa and they have their bikinis on. They're looking real good. They make me want to get in the gym, all three of them.
Oh my gosh, right. I need to be walking my treadmill right now. But, you know.
Yeah, next podcast, I feel like breathing real hard. It's because we're working out.
Try. Just cut that whirring noise, of, you know, out of the podcast.
But Sparkle takes Steven and then Steph takes Leroy. And they go jet skiing, and Steph is like, this could be a preview of what our life could be like after this. And I was like, oh, look at that. Just,
I know, but they were all like, yeah, you know.
All the besties, the mom and son, what a weird, fun foursome.
Weird fun. Mm-hmm. Weird fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they splash around and stuff on the jet ski. Steph and Leroy fall, which was just funny. and then they go talk on their little, you know, side chats. Sparkle and Steven, she said that she's starting to feel like a real couple with him. And he asked her if she feels secure in what they have and if they can, like, have something outside of the hotel. And she says to the camera that, like, if he wants to take things further, she's open to it. And then he brings her in and gives her a kiss on the forehead. And then she's like, I know he wanted to kiss me, but he wanted to be a gentleman. And I was like, well, at this point, she needs to give him like the clear green light.
Like, is the, like, because my thing is like, I'm like, y'all don't have a physical relationship. And obviously, like, I get, like, you know, you could do the slow burn, whatever, mm-hmm. and get to know each other. But it's kind of like, is it ever going to happen if it's not happening?
Right. Because at this point, she's made it clear, like, you know, she doesn't want to rush into that. So she needs to be the one to say, all right, I'm cool with it now.
Mm-hmm. You know? Or you could also initiate the kiss if you wanted.
Yeah. You know, it's 2022.
One or the other.
It's 2023. Yeah. More and more modern as we go. But so, you know, if you're down with it, you're already dating a younger man, might as well just shake it all up.
Yeah. Like, yeah, young blood, I don't know. He's 22. I mean, I can't even imagine dating a 22-year-old, although he is very, very mature and, like, you know, suave for his little 22
years.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, do you know life, bro? I don't know. How long have you been driving? No, I'm just kidding. But, like, really?
And see, the thing is, like, if that was me, I got my driver's license later in life.
Me too. I got mine at 17.
You know I got mine at 19. So, so it would be like 3 years.
Yeah, and like, oh no. And I hate driving. So I'm like, you know what? No, it just won't work.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I mean, I still think it's cute. Again, I like how Sparkle is around him. I can see them talking more and enjoying life more. Mm-hmm. I can see, like, you know, how she's kind of like, lighting up, if you will. So I could see that there is definitely a connection, but it's weird. It's like, are they both too nervous to explore it?
Yeah. Like, they definitely enjoy each other, but it, yeah.
To what degree? To what level? Right,
exactly. Thank you.
I'm just gonna, you know, finish your sentences. That's just what I'm here for.
Yeah. The words weren't coming out, and this is a podcast, so they're important.
But then we can get on over to Steph and Leroy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to be sounding like I'm hard on Steph, but like the next two episodes, I might. I might. But literally. So I just feel like, okay, so here she is, like, trailing Leroy that she's falling for him.
Mm-hmm.
And even potentially falling in love. And he's, you know, definitely too nervous to say it back, nervous to hear it, not sure how to express it. He had already told her on the last episode that he has a hard time expressing those things, even if he feels them. And so I'm like, the purpose of her saying it, is it just because she wants to say it genuinely because that's how she feels, or is she wanting to hear it back? Mm. And is she wanting him to feel it back? And if he doesn't in a certain amount of time or make her feel comfortable with it, then what does that mean for their relationship? All of those things are true, mm-hmm. like in a regular relationship, like, you know, you do have to ask those questions. But I don't think it was asking. It was more so, this is how I feel. And then it's like, now you go.
Huh. Okay. I'll accept that. So here I put, he seemed very hesitant, and this was the first time Leroy kind of disappointed me. But I guess I forgot in the last episode him mentioning that expressing himself is difficult for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I can kind of see that. They both have that difficulty. We're going to get to a conversation later where both of them are just trying to say what they feel, and they are on the struggle bus.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because they're like used to being able to just be like light, mm-hmm. flirty, fun. And now it's like, now we've got to kind of dig deep.
And they're very similar in that way, which is difficult in a relationship because you may not have heard, but communication is important in relationships.
That's what they say. That's what they say, Cheryl.
So they both need to be able to, like, spit it out, for lack of a better word. And
right.
Both of them just kind of like, I'm
not sure. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But I do think, because even if you feel that way, and if he feels that way or not, in the movies and stuff, you'll be like, I love you. And the person's like, oh my gosh, I love you too. But I feel like in real life, it's almost like a person says it, like whoever says it first. And then you kind of like take them up like, oh shoot, are we there yet?
Is that what we're doing?
Let yeah, me... we're in love. Oh Do I God. Love you? Maybe. Mm,
I got to take a second.
Think about yeah. So I feel like, I mean, obviously I'm not around with every person telling them that they love each other for the first time, but I feel like there are probably a lot of situations in real life where one person says it and then the other person has a hesitation, and not necessarily because they don't feel that way, but just because they haven't processed yet.
That, and they also didn't know that the conversation was coming up. You know what I mean? Like, to prepare for it, if you will. So mm-hmm. it's like, it's the processing, preparing, you know, one person says it because they're just feeling overwhelmed by the emotions that they feel like, I've got to tell you this.
Right.
Or because they're happy to tell them this, you know? Mm-hmm. And you have to not be upset at the other person's reaction because y'all didn't come to the table today to talk about this, you know?
Today is I love you day.
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, I know I'm definitely guilty of being like, oh my God, you don't feel the same way? What's going on? What's happening? Why aren't you responding right now? Like, what's going on? You know, so of course, like, you get your high hopes. So he was hesitant. She was taken aback.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like this is one of those things where it's like at 41 compared mm-hmm. to his age of 28, like, you would think you'd be able to give him a moment.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm noticing about Leroy, he's a take a moment type of guy,
mm-hmm.
which I think is good. I guess maybe because that's also how I process things, where I like to take the information in because I don't want to say things that I will regret or don't mean or whatever. So a lot of times I'll absorb, think about it, process, and then say, okay, this is what I actually want to say versus the first 10 things that run through my mind that may or may not be the correct things to say in the
right
moment.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so I take back my disappointment in Leroy. You talked me out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm acting like Leroy's in the right here. It's just like in certain moments, you know, I see where both of them could give a little. That's all. Mm-hmm. But Brooke pulls, now we're moving on to Brooke pulling Gary aside, child. And because she knows he has what said about the tattoo, and Gary felt triggered. Yeah. And that was a really good thing to him to explain to a degree. I thought.
Okay. Yes, I'm glad that he took that moment and recognized, you know, what it was bringing up inside of him. Totally agree, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But once he got to his story.
Uh-huh.
How old is Gary?
Do we know? Probably 28 to 30.
He's 30-ish. He said...
let me go back and look. I think he's right at 30, but anyway, yeah. Let me go back.
He said...
yeah, he's 30.
He dated a girl all through high school, and freshman year of college, she cheated on him. I understand that's upsetting. Truly.
Mm-hmm. Well, he thought he was going to marry her. Chelsea, do not leave that out.
He thought he was going to marry her.
Yeah.
As she most betrayed of his us trust. Do with our high school boyfriends and girlfriends.
Well, I wouldn't know. But anyway.
But like, that was... in high school, that was so long ago. Like, and this isn't just towards Gary, but me and my sister were talking, was like, a guy gets hurt one time.
Yeah, you're right.
And he's holding on to that for like the rest of his days. Like, you are 30, right. Bruh. This happened probably at 19.
Chelsea.
Okay.
I'm just saying, one little thing to say. Okay. They made it from high school to college, which you know is a big deal. You know that normally doesn't happen.
Okay.
You don't normally date through. Now, again, this is just from my experience in the rom-coms, not personal. But the people don't usually date all the way through high school and make it through to college.
No, a lot of people make it through to freshman year of college. And then you get to college.
You're right. You're right.
And then
you're right.
Christmas break. You're like, actually, no.
No. Like, no, I want to be free. I want to date around, explore, be myself. You're right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
Yeah. So it's like, I understand. My high school boyfriend broke up with me when he went to college. I guess looking back, he was nice enough to do it before he left.
Yeah. Yeah. The difference, only thing I'll say about this is because he was like, yeah, they both were talking about they love each other, right? And so, but then he asked
her. Everyone does in high school.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry.
They both talk about they love each other, and he asked her if she was in love with him after all these years, after all this time, and then she said no. So think about this. You had had your hopes up, you had been dreaming about what your future in life would look like, you assumed it was going to be with this person, and then come to find out after all these years, all this time, they weren't fully in love with you and they didn't want the same things, and you were blindsided.
I understand all of that. It's hurtful. Like, you know, I'm sure he cried.
He cried this time. I was surprised he was shedding tears.
But it's been at least like 10 years since this occurred.
This is true. Yeah, it's true.
And we're going
and
from like.
It still didn't actually fully apply to their situation. So yeah, that was also like, different. That's what I thought you were going with, where I was like, okay, now, Gary.
No, but I'm come just on like. Now. Men, the apples to oranges. I'm very much generalizing here, but
wow,
y'all cannot just take this one single heartbreak and then like be like, oh, now I can never open myself up. Because he said something, he was like, I open myself up and I get crushed. And I was like, oh, you know, maybe, you know, a couple years ago he had a serious girlfriend. No, in high school. Come on,
that scarred him for life. Obviously,
clearly,
he could never have a relationship.
Clearly.
Again.
Gary and others go heal and read some you know
books. We know why Gary is single now at 30. Well, we'll see,
right? But, I was like, yeah. Oh, I mean, and I want to feel for you, Gary. I mean, I do on some level, but I really want you to work through that, and I want you to work through it aggressively.
Yeah.
And then
at an accelerated rate.
Yeah, at an accelerated rate. If you have to do 3 therapy sessions a week to power through it, however, yes, it needs to happen,
get that on through.
Yeah.
But Gary does the other mature thing. You see, Gary is mature. One, Brooke does go and tell her story about how basically she was in love with someone while she was pregnant, and they didn't love her back, and she was trying to make them love her, all that. You guys remember hearing about that a while back.
See, so I'm just going to... That's the stuff, like, a woman, like, we were about to have a child together, and the child died, and he said, you know, he didn't love me.
Yeah.
Versus my high school girlfriend.
Cheated on me. She did cheat.
She probably just kissed someone else at the party.
How you know, Chelsea?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Was it you, Chelsea? What's going on?
I'm Gary's high school girlfriend.
You have to have so much insight. But so the good thing about Gary is that he did ask, you know, like, are you all in on Crew? And then she kind of beat around the bush. And then she was like, my heart is with Crew. And he said he respected that. Well, he basically acted as if he respected that and just said he'll go ahead and check himself out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, look at there.
Yeah, that was
there.
That
points
was
for Gary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not anti-Gary. I like Gary.
I'm just saying.
I'm just, you know, everyone has areas. We all have areas we can work on.
Yeah. Now, I don't know why he had to have the heart-to-heart with Crew. I don't know if somebody told him to do that. Because it was weird to me. Like, Crew, well, you know, I'm going to leave. You know, you got your girl. What? I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just weird.
I guess.
To me.
Yeah. Well, one, they could have told him to do it. But also, since they were, like, roommates and, you know, close. Maybe he just wanted to, like, make sure that, you know, Crew was for real before he exited himself from the situation.
Maybe.
Yeah. But either way, Gary has checked out of the hotel. The rest of the guys are like, oh my gosh.
What's happening? Gasp, gasp. And then Giuseppe's like, you know what? I need to talk to Steph.
Yeah.
And he shortly follows suit and is like, listen, Gary just checked out. I understand why he did it. It kind of makes sense for me to do that. I see, you know, you with Leroy, all that jazz. And she's like, yeah.
Basically, I'm not stupid. I know you like him more than everyone else.
Yeah. And it's like, just too little, too late with Giuseppe.
Mm-hmm. So
he checks out. And then going forward, like the next day, the ladies get a surprise.
Pedro tells them that reality is looming and they need to face it. So they have a few visitors coming and it's their friends and family. Yay.
Whee!
We meet Sparkle's best friend, Steph's dad, and Brooke's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then so first we sit down with Brooke and her sister, and she lets her know that she's down to one man, and it's kind of too good to be true. Did her sister's face kind of look to you like, oh, here we go again?
Here we go again.
Okay,
listen, Brooke told us from the beginning, this is what she do. Her sister was like, and I'm here over this. But the good thing is they seem to be honest with each other in that sense that, like, Brooke's sister did not pull any punches.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, I'm going to be myself just like you being yourself.
And she asked all the right questions, and it seemed like they didn't talk about anything.
And my favorite part, my favorite line of this was Brooke was like, my sister being here really, like, slapped me in the face with reality.
Yeah. Like, for a recap, the sister, first she asked, like, is Crew falling in love with her, or is he in love with her? And he said, I'm falling in love with her. And then she was like, so, y'all live in different states. What's up with that? And then it was like, huh. We never talked about that. I would think even if you weren't in love, you would at least say, like, okay,
so if we're trying to kick it,
Utah, I live in LA. Are we going to visit each other?
You see me, how far is that? What does that look like? Right. Are we going to meet halfway?
Like, they hadn't even addressed that part. I was like, come on, guys. Now you're just sounding like silly children.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And also asked if he wants to be a dad. And he said, you know, yeah, sure, eventually. And so that was that. And I was like, all right, you guys have a lot to talk about. And I'm glad your sister brought that to the front.
Right. And y'all going on all these dates. What y'all doing?
Right. Tattooing each other, apparently.
And kissing. That's it.
All right. And then we meet Sparkle's bestie, Kamisha. Mm-hmm. And she tells her about the men. And she says, Akio brings out the zen, but he also gives sexy mysteriousness. And then Kamisha's like, so what are you trying to hide?
Good question. And I was gonna say, he really started, like, coming off more timid. It's like in the beginning he did have almost like this quiet confidence, if you will, and then, like, even more outspoken and more, like, direct with Sparkle and all of that. And then it's like, as time went on, I don't know if it's because he wasn't getting the attention he thought he would or whatever, but he definitely started coming off more timid.
Yeah, that was my thought. If, like, once Steven started, like, moving up in the rankings, he was like, oh, I might have some competition. Now I don't know how to act.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it showed.
Yeah.
And so it was like he didn't do too well to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Steven's up next, and you know, she warns her that he's 22, he's young. And she's like, "What in the world are you even doing? What is happening?" And then he walks in, she's like, "I didn't expect to see that." And I'm like, "Yeah, he's cutie. He's a little, you know, don't look 22-ish. Yeah. Like 25, you know, I don't know." But I will say that when Sparkle said that he speaks to her spirit and the vibrant side of her, I started being like, "Oh, now I'm seeing it." Now I'm getting it, because with now, especially because with Akio, things are kind of like dying down, flames extinguished. It's not doing anything to really bring it up. Like, so yeah.
Yeah. Steven, he seems to have a way to impress people. He seems to have good vibes, a good aura.
I told you, he's very suave.
Yeah.
A little swagger. What's the other word for that when people are?
Je ne sais quoi.
Charismatic.
Oh.
It's got a sort of je ne sais quoi as well, though. I couldn't think of the word. Both I was like, not manipulative, because that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say the other like, thing.
Manipulative, but good.
Yeah, the good kind, you know.
Yeah. I don't remember if the friend ever gave like a final 2 cents on who to pick.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It was just like surprised, but like, you know, you got a girl. And I think Sparkle, like, she's made her intentions clear with all of us. You know, she here for a good time. If it's a long time, all right, but doubt it, because that's not what she's really looking for right now. She's looking for fun, light, enjoyable.
Yeah. No relationship. Stay tuned till the end. I might know where things are at.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I'm so excited. You guys, this is going to be like a news, breaking news to me, because I didn't look up where they are now, but Chelsea did. And so I'm very pumped.
Yeah.
All right. So now we get to Steph and her pops.
And first we learn that her mom is 10 years older than her dad.
Yeah. I was like, did we know this?
We did not know that.
For whatever reason, Steph didn't want to be like her mom for that. I don't know if there was other things attached to that.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, she was definitely like, not going to be dating a younger man like my mama. So I was like, who are you mad at? Your dad for being young or your mom for dating younger?
For being old.
I don't know what the problem was.
Quentin shows up first, and the dad asks the traditional dad question, what are your intentions with my daughter?
Yeah.
And he said he wants to know if friendship could turn into a relationship, possibly a marriage, and he's not one to jump into things. And he, you know, answers all the questions right, you know, quote unquote, correct for how you want the situation to go. And the dad is like, yeah, he's a good guy for you, and he seems like marriage material. So that made things difficult for Leroy to follow up.
Right. This is exactly like the one-on-ones with the parents on The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Where it's like, you have one great first person impression. And then you're like, who's this other person? No, I don't want them.
We hate him. You're like, you haven't met him yet.
And so he comes down and he's basically like, dad's listening to Leroy. And he's just like, yeah. After he leaves, he's like, I just don't think he really knows what he wants. I think I like Quentin more.
Hold on, this is an important thing that I had noticed that nobody spelled it out, but I caught it. The dad asked, like, what do you want in the future? Mm-hmm. And he said he wants kids, but he's willing to roll with the punches and go with whatever's allowed. And I think that he was trying to say, like, he knows that she's older, so kids may or may not be an option biologically, without, like, saying that outright. But it just seemed like really messy in the way that he was trying to like kind of beat around the bush with it, because as we know, he has a hard time getting out his feelings. But that's what I took from that, where he was kind of like, you know, I want kids and stuff, but if that's not possible, I'm willing to roll with it.
Okay,
that could be me giving him a lot of grace, but that's when I saw it, that was my immediate thought.
I mean, that could be. I'm not going to lie. I think I just missed that part.
You took it how the dad took it? Because the dad was like, he sounds like he doesn't know what he wants in life. And I was like, no, I think he's trying to be flexible, you know, to be with Steph.
That's true.
And luckily, and he already has a son with Steven.
And I will say that, I mean, those are kind of the small things with Leroy that I have liked seeing that. Like, he definitely, like you said, takes the moment, makes a mature decision, even if it's maybe not the decision that everyone's thinking he's going to make at the time, which I think is actually still the best, because he's thinking about the real stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And, like, obviously nowadays there's a lot of different ways to have children. There's a lot of, you know, medical help that you can get if it doesn't happen naturally. And there's also, you know, like adoption, all that stuff. But I think it's definitely mature to recognize that being with an older woman, that it may not be.
Yeah, I would think that's like the first thing y'all talk about.
All right. And then after Leroy leaves, she says there's one more surprise. And then Steven comes in and he's like, yay. Oh, what are you doing here? Hey. Right.
And he's like, I didn't expect this part.
Yeah, I didn't either, which I don't know why I didn't expect it. It seems obvious now that like once it happened, I'm like, no, they would do it. It's right there.
Of course. But yeah, no.
And he's like, what are you doing here? And he was like, I just wanted to make sure my mom was good. And it's like, but also I made a connection too. And then Sparkle comes down the steps and Daddy Grandpa Nelson is shook.
He was stunned. He was already looking like, how could I? I mean, he ain't had much to say outside of, well, son, you know, she's beautiful. She look good. I see why you like her. She bright, she warm, she glowing. You know, that's what he's telling us. And he's like, basically, you know, if Stephen don't work out, I'm available.
Right.
I still got it.
I said, dang. Made me think, is she closer to an age?
Right, though. And who, like, not grandfather already scoping out, being like, this youngin' ain't it for you, Sparkle?
Come over here. So I thought that was funny. But couldn't even get his words together.
That was so funny. And they were all cracking up. I was like, dang, I think if I was Steven, you might feel like almost a slight little way, like, so grandfather could never be involved in anything.
Right?
He waited for me to slip up.
You can't leave him alone with your girl?
No.
This is your girl, like, your grandpa?
Right. But you're right. I wonder, especially since he was young. Mm-hmm. I wish we would have known how old he was.
It's probably like the same on both directions, like 20 years up and 20 years down.
Holy smokes. That's hilarious. She could go either way.
She got options, honey.
And her and Steph can still be somehow related.
All right. And now it's time for the final checkout. So,
about time. I was like, you know what? Y'all been dragging this out.
Yeah. Well, they gave us that countdown clock. They let us know.
Yeah, you are.
And then so Brooke, she says she's so hopeful to come for what's to come with Crew. And so he asked if he'll stay with her at the Groove Hotel. He says yes. And she said over the next few days, they're going to finally have some conversations about what their life would look like after this if they move forward.
Okay, girl. Maybe they will.
Maybe. Steph says, although one of the men that she has so many of the qualities that she's looking for in a partner, one of them just does it for her. And that one is Leroy.
Yeah. I was like, of course, for both Crew and Leroy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think he does like her and then he wants to be with her and sees a future. So I'm I could see them checking out together.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I actually think that their relationship is the most, I don't want to say real because that would mean like the others are fake, but I think
they went to like the most real world relationship stuff.
Right. Like they also seem the most like naturally compatible. And I feel like they're most like into each other. I think obviously like Brooke and Crew are into each other, but I think it's more like giddy kid, like, oh
yeah, my gosh, like, so you're gonna cute. Run we off with the bad boy fun.
Yeah,
right, but it's not gonna be the one you end up with. Mm-hmm. in my mind, I don't know,
but I think Steph and Leroy have a more natural compatibility. I feel like they fit more
they
together.
Do but I will say, I mean, even though I like, got caught up and I was like, oh, I hope they check out together, I'm still like thinking back to some of their conversations and like you can see it on her face, like the concern, the worry that maybe it's not just exactly right. Right. Like they're not technically fully on the same page about everything at every step. They could potentially get there, but they're not at present.
I don't even think they're on necessarily different pages, except maybe like the being best friends with Steven thing. But I just think that they have a tough time articulating what they're saying or thinking to each other. And we have the benefit of like seeing their thoughts in the interviews, like to the camera, and then their conversations with each other. So like when I hear like both their interviews together and I'm like, mm-hmm. no, I think y'all are saying or feeling the same or similar. But then when they talk to each other, it's like a little mishmash.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's what couples therapy is for.
Yeah, that's true. And so now we get to Sparkle And I'm not sure who she's going to pick. I assume she's going to pick Akio because of their connection, you know, from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But Steven has kind of snuck up there as a, what you say, the dark horse or something. So yep. I don't know. So I'm just waiting. And she picks Steven. And I was Steven. A little shocked. I was like, wow, I'm a little shocked. But I was saying, like, she does light up around him. She does like that. The side of him he brings
to
out.
Leroy in this moment, that's your son.
Oh, yeah. That was hilarious. That was so stupid and hilarious. Yeah. And I felt bad, but Akio did. He's like kind of faded into the background. Yeah. Wasn't bringing the same light and fun times that she was really looking for, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And I also feel like that happens with like real dating. You meet someone and then you start off and it's like, oh, this is so exciting. And then just like, as time goes on, your relationship just fades and there's nothing wrong with it.
Right. It's just like,
yeah,
it's just not the long-term thing that we thought. All right. Yeah. Moving on. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, here go Brooke, child. She falling in love with Crew and she want to spend the night with him. Why she tell us every 2 seconds? I get it. It's a show. And we're supposed to know about her love life. But I'm just like, Brooke, we've been known you want to be with Crew. I thought you already was. Have y'all not been together? What is going on?
What are you waiting for? Just go do it, What's going on?
Yeah, just go ahead, girl. You do not have to make an announcement and then be like, everybody, come to my room. Like, okay, girl. But again, that's the whole, like, they're both acting like teenagers. Like, type thing, which is cute to a degree. And then on the other side, it's like, y'all both grown up. But okay. Mm-hmm. The previews, mind you, for the finale make you think stuff is about to just pop off all sideways, up and down, round. Okay. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
This show been pretty chill, like even playing field the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Is Tay coming back? You know, what's going on?
Will we ever see Tay again? The number one question.
And the answer, now that we're getting to episode 8, is no.
No. He does come back.
He did, girl, Tay?
Yes.
When?
Hold on, we'll get to it.
Okay, because I missed it.
Oh, that's funny.
That's hilarious. I definitely missed it.
That is hilarious. But we first
could have only been for a second
with Pedro. This show is so unserious. It's
so unserious,
like all the time. Like we don't recap every little joke and quip that they make, but they are just like on jokes. Like their relationships are serious, but they definitely get their little quips in.
Mm-hmm.
So we open with Pedro sharing that when he was a little boy, his mother lost her groove and she never got it back. And her last words were, to live without a groove is to never live at all. And he vowed that that would never happen to another woman. So he became concierge at the Groove Hotel. And now he has done all he can do for Brooke, Sparkle, and Steph. Will the women find their grooves? Let's find out.
What in the world? Also, I'm like, not you telling your mama business. Too much going on.
Yeah, I was like, this show is a trip.
Yeah, but we get back to Brooke telling us that Crew told her that he's falling in love with her.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, did he? And I was like, oh yeah, technically, I guess so. I forgot.
Yeah, I guess. I know, me too. And apparently, I also forgot it's a 12-year age difference. Like, I knew, but I thought he was 31 and she was 42. I can't do math, though. So I guess
maybe
it
depends on when their birthdays are.
That's true. Maybe he hit turn 31 during the whole process. Who knows?
Yeah.
Because if it's 30 and 42, then yeah. It's straight up 12.
Yeah.
Anyways. But, you know, she was like, despite the age differences, she wants a family and wants to see if he's ready to be a father. And he says that, you know, that it's a lot and that, you know, he wants an amazing woman.
Don't we?
And, you know, to have kids with, and that it's her. So I was like, why are you dragging us along? Like, I didn't know what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, were you ready to answer the question, or were you just talking until you were like, yeah, I can have a kid with her? Like,
sure, why not?
Yeah. And so he was like, he's just ready for them to get into the real world. And I was like, oh, well.
Hmm. Yeah.
And also, now she says she's falling in love with him.
Yeah. And then they kiss.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've been dating and talking to Brooke this whole time, you gotta know kids gonna have to be on the table. She's made that.
I thought that was clear. Yeah, from the first date, first chat, first everything, that everybody, she wants a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, today, tomorrow.
You should have been thinking about that this whole time.
You literally impregnated her last night. I don't know.
Congratulations, you did it.
Hey, we're having a baby.
Okay, now we go to Sparkle. And she's wondering if she and Steven would be able to move forward or if, you know, they should just enjoy the time that they had and call it that. And then Pedro reminds us that they've never kissed. But will today be the day?
Which I was like, how did he get this far? Picked last and they've never kissed. And they don't even feel like they're like really, what is it, on the precipice of kissing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I get that they both had like the will they or won't they kind of pull. And I think also it was just difficult with her mom being around ish, you know.
I don't know, because I just feel like that Sparkle's vibe. I don't know if Steph's presence made a difference at all.
That's true. Well, she only kissed Akio once. Maybe
yeah, once. And then he went for it again. And she was like,
no, I'm good on it. I don't want to be doing all that. Thanks. Yeah.
Yes, I think it's just how she rolls.
That's true. Okay.
But yeah, the Sparkle, she shares that she actually wasn't interested in finding love when she came on the show. She just wanted to have fun. And then when she and Steven started to connect, she was like, hold on, wait, what? And she said his youthful energy she enjoys, but she has youthful energy and that he's mature. And so that somewhere in the middle, the two of them connect. And he said he wasn't expecting it either, because he really just came here to help out his mom. Started connecting. He was also taken back by it. And he said that they have to end this experience with a bang. And that's when Pedro pops in like a little like guiding light. And he's like, kiss her. Like, will they kiss? Is this the moment? Mm-hmm. And then they do kiss. He leans in. He leans in a bit and like puckers out his lips. And then she kind of goes the rest of the way. So, because I was like, she still has to be the one, you know, really give the green light since he's done, or since she's kind of made clear that, like, no, I'm not about this. But she went in for it. They kiss, and they do like a couple, like, you know, mwah, mwah, you know, sorry. I'm sure that was.
Ew.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, man. But then they do like a few kisses. And,
oh man, I wish y'all could see the recording of this one. That's hilarious.
And she said it was soft, sweet, gentle, and respectful, just like Steven.
This show is so funny though, how they use Pedro. It's hilarious.
Like, Pedro's hovering in the background, like
whispering Sparkle.
Yeah.
Now's the time.
So it's like, good, finally.
Yeah, they finally kissed. I mean, at first I was like, oh, that's all they're going to do. And then they kept going. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so that means they're leaving together, right? That's where we landed?
No, that just means they had a kiss.
You're right. Okay, sorry.
And now we move on to Leroy and Steph.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so she came to find herself, and then she found somebody else too. And then Leroy said, you know, he's glad that she chose him and that now they're here, you know, without the distractions and they can focus on them and having a good time. This is why I started to worry. I was like, oh no, is Leroy going to like, you know, recoil now? Like, oh, we're just here to have fun. And she's like, no, I told you,
I'm all in. Yeah, ish, kind of. Because, you know, she's talking about like, well, how do you see us moving forward afterwards? And he's like, you know, the normal long distance stuff.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we ain't moving no time, no fast, nothing. Yeah. Stay where we at. Where is he, actually? She's Miami.
He's from Philly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then they sit down and she says, you know, she's going to tell him exactly how she feels now. And then she starts going into an analogy about how she was walking along a cliff and the cliff is the Groove Hotel. And at the end of the cliff, there's water, but then there's a boat. And he's the boat. And then she was like, so then I walked off the cliff and he was like, and then did I catch you in the boat? And then they start laughing.
That was cute.
And then she was like, no, I'm trying to be serious. And I was like, I feel you. But also, girl, that analogy was
What? Because you could have just said the real words of, hi, I was, you know, my boundaries are down now. I'm opening up, holding on to you, whatever. Like, you know, I feel like a little depending on you type thing, expecting something of you. You don't expect something from somebody who's not your man. Well, sometimes people do. And that's how they get messed up. But anyways.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But
and he even ends up starting calling her baby and stuff. And I'm like.
But then once we get past the boat analogy and the laughing, she kind of starts to use like real words. And she's like, you know, I don't usually make myself vulnerable because I'm scared of getting hurt. Mm-hmm. But she says that I'm falling for you and it's scary. And as she's saying this, Leroy's kissing her hand. Mm-hmm. And then he doesn't respond right away. And so I'm getting nervous.
Me too. I was like, oh, this is all he's about to do. This is all like, he's about to do is just.
You gotta say something, bro. Like,
you can't. He's like, I'm kissing your hand. I'm kissing your hand. I'm here.
Then he says, he's like, I don't even know what all that means. She's like, what do you mean you don't know what it means? And then he was like, I've never been in a situation like this before. He's like, but I'm falling for you too. So then I like let out a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
I was like, I've been doing all this, you know, talking up Leroy, saying like, no, he's this, he's that. And he's over here and like, I you know, act like an F boy at the end of the show, making me look crazy. And then she says, for real? He was like, yeah, I want to catch you in the boat.
It was cute. That was cute.
Yeah,
he stuck with her analogy and everything. He was saying he hears her, understands her, and then he's going to be there for her. And I was like, oh, this is great. It's everything she ever wanted, too, from him at this point.
Good job, guys. And it was in this conversation, I was like, both of them just struggled to express what they want to say.
Yeah, because I was honestly sitting here like, now listen, that girl, didn't he already explain that he is not good with expressing his emotions and he probably is not going to be able to, especially not right now, not in this setting. Y'all continue to date, move forward. Like, you don't want to make it seem like you're forcing him to say something. But at the same time, she wasn't. She was just expressing herself, and then she gave him the opportunity to express himself, and he did.
And maybe the little analogy helped, because then he could also be like, I want to be the boat, you know? So
true.
It didn't work for me, but it worked for them.
True. Yeah. And so now I'm glad, because, you know, she's happy. They're on the same page. Then we move on to Miss Brooke, and she's really feeling alive and feeling herself. You know, because she's with Crew.
Yeah.
She just thinks he's so handsome and hot. And I don't. But, you know, hey, everybody like who they like.
That's right. Crew's not your man.
Nope. You know, I just am surprised. Like, is he, you know how it is, like, whenever you have the whole, like, universally hot, like, people sexy is hot or, like, fake.
Mm-hmm.
Fake hot. Like, I mean,
he doesn't do it for me, but. Once again, he's not my man either.
This is true. This is true. And I'm just saying, you know, she got Gary and she had Crew. But whatever. But here's the other thing that's hilarious to me. I wrote it down. She was like, so, you know, she thinks he's handsome and hot. And then she's like, and the fact that he's always wanted to be a father and have kids of his own is sexy to her.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I feel like most guys just say, like, yeah, I've always wanted to be a dad. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying it's not true, but
sure.
It's kind of like.
But it's like. And I guess because it makes it sexy because they're wanting what she's wanting. And so now she's like, they're aligned, and that just makes her even more attracted to him. But it was just hilarious. Like, it's so sexy that he's always wanted to be a father.
Yeah. And okay. So she's, you know, going to invite him over to do her thing. And
make
we
sure
get
that happens.
A sexy fruit and vegetable montage.
Yo, I was literally like so annoyed. So it's so funny. So she asked him to come stay over to stay the night, and it's so funny because he's like, is that allowed? What's going on? Like, he's looking around at production like, am I okay to do this? And then she tells us that, you know, it's almost like she's been waiting for this her whole life. Like, dang, Brooke, do you just, I mean, she did tell us she fall deep and hard and just all in, like, Lord.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, the fruit play, the vegetable play, it was so much. Do you think that they told them that to just start eating fruit sexually? Or do you think that they told them that it was going to be used for sex type
stuff? No, they definitely told them, like, I think they probably did tell him, like, you know, slowly eat the banana, please. Like,
yeah, eat it a little slower. And you're like, okay, weird.
Yeah. And then, like, here, chop this very large carrot with your shirt off. Thank you. Like,
yeah. Pull on that grape, just one tug. Mm-hmm. Great.
It's like, slow. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. So and then let the juice drip. Mm-hmm. Let it drip from your face. Like, I would, like, I guess technically that happens in the privacy of one's home. But. All on camera. It's like, oh my gosh, no.
Yeah.
But it's just funny. They couldn't resist. Last episode, they had to do it.
Yeah. And then
all the fruit play made it seem as if they were having sex, I guess.
I think it's pretty much confirmed.
I thought that they had it before. That's what I'm saying, girl. I don't know.
Well, but the next day.
Yeah, that's true.
Stephen Sparkle is like, you are glowing. And she said she had the time of her life. And I said, good job, Crew.
Yeah, good job. About time. Like, and it's one of those things where you hope it was legit instead of it being like, it was just all this pent up waiting. And it was like, anything would do.
Oh. Yeah.
It was legit, but I'm sure it was legit, Crew. Sorry to be.
Good job, Crew. Congratulations.
Like and then Crew says he's a love child. He in love with Brooke. And she gets a choice to check out.
I don't see. This is where you miss Taye Diggs.
Oh, well, there it is.
Yeah, after that, it said Taye Diggs is back. Literally didn't
Girl,
think we'd see him again.
Girl, I cannot believe. I'm so mad.
But basically all he did, he was like, you know, thanks for coming. And he asked them how they were doing. Sparkle said she was feeling bittersweet because she built a bond with the women and a bonus was meeting the amazing guys. Brooke said the same thing. And instead she was like, I'm just so grateful for the experience. And then Tay was like, all right, well, you got to check out. So you decide if you want to go with the guy you picked or alone. And so that was his whole thing. So episode one and episode eight.
All right, Tay, my bad. Misspeaking on your name. I didn't see you. I walked away for a second.
If you went and grabbed a snack, you missed
it. Yeah, I definitely did. I had to get my little steak and eggs breakfast finally. But anyway, so yay, he made it back, child. Now then we get to where he tells them that they could check out. And so then Brooke and Crew is up first.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Crew says he's in love with Brooke and they choose to leave together because the feeling is mutual.
Yep. And he said, I'm a tattoo artist. I can go wherever. So I'm going to come to LA with you. We good.
You almost made me spit out my wine.
That's what he said.
I don't know. I don't know.
But I want to say that I ended the show liking Crew. I was very skeptical of him on the first episode. And I ended it and I was like, okay, I like Crew. I mean, I wasn't totally confident in a relationship just because it seemed just not because of Crew himself, just kind of the both of them together. It's like, are y'all really, thinking seriously? But actually I was like, he seems, genuine and legit. Like he at least believes what he's saying in his moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You did good, Crew. You did good.
And now we see young Steven. He said his goal is to leave here with Sparkle and to see where the future takes them.
He's cute.
Mm-hmm. And Sparkle said that her goal was to have fun. But then she met Steven and she started to feel some little something.
He caught her by surprise.
And so she talks to him and says, even though they have fun, she's not sure what it looks like in the outside world. And she asks how he's feeling. He says a lot of emotions. And then he said when he saw her, he knew he wanted to pursue her. Very beautiful, smart, and genuine. And I like that he gave like other characteristics other than just like, oh, you're so beautiful and so fun. Like I like that he said like smart and genuine. He said some other stuff that I forgot to write down, but it was like a good description of him, like actually making note of her as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she came here to reset and then she's done that and more because she met him and he's been respectful and kind and brought her a new world of fun and excitement and the way he's brought out her youthful side. And then they have Steph watching from like a cliff or not a cliff, but like from the woman's villa, they can look over to the
I know.
Villa.
I was like, she always been peeping around trying to see what's going on.
Yeah.
But she was definitely looking over like a proud mama and friend. So it was cute.
But she said the way he brought out her youthful side, she wants to keep that up and she wants to leave with him and they leave together. And then when they get out to the front, Steph is there and gives them both a hug.
Yeah, that's cute. I was like, oh, wow. Again, a shocker the whole time with Steven and Sparkle.
Yeah. Who would have saw that coming? And then Steph said, he's a grown man. He's a good man. And she wants him to, have fun. And if they have fun together, then so be it. And the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, that's true. And then we get on to Steph and Leroy. She was very emotional from the start, so I wasn't sure from the beginning, like, if something was up, what was up, what happened, and was she just, reeling off of Steven Sparkle, was she just overthinking the whole thing?
So much love.
So much, and so she basically, okay, sorry, it was a typo in my notes, so that's why I was like, oh my, what's happening? So basically, she kind of like goes through the spiel of letting him know, once again, reminding him of why she showed up, what she was expecting to get out of this experience. She showed up to find herself, showed up to really support herself and stop, in a sense, giving herself so much to other people. And also refinding herself, if you will, and not necessarily like a rebranding, but just like learning a new way to live after her, health scare. Mm-hmm. And, after her survival. And so only 5 months out of that on top of it. And so everything is fresh. Everything is new. Everything is different. And so she kind of goes back into that. And then she explains to him how she can't leave with him because she needs to choose herself. And even though he makes her happy, she can't be the woman that she wants to be and who he deserves until she continues her journey of finding herself.
And I didn't see this coming.
I didn't either. I could have sworn they were going to leave together. And I thought if they didn't, that it was going to be Leroy's fault.
Right, right, for sure. And it was weird because to me, this is the only reason why I was like, I feel like I'm hard on Steph.
That's how they made us.
Yeah, like he just had like a weird, like upset feeling, or he couldn't get where she wanted her to, him to get, and he just left all stormed out kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know, she asked him how he felt. He did tell her. It did take some time. He was hesitant, but he is young, you know, and you know, he hasn't had gone through as much as she has, you know, so he hasn't had as much life experience to be able to fully, quickly state what's on his mind, how he feels, whatever. And so I kind of felt like almost like you don't want to rush him into that because you want him to make that decision fully on his own. And you don't want to make it seem like, okay, well, he only said this because I said it, or because I was expecting it. And it's like, he didn't, but then that still wasn't enough. And it kind of sucks to Leroy, you know, because why you had me here all this time and telling you all these things and opening up and doing, and so funny, my fiance was watching a little bit and made a good point. It was like, she thought maybe potentially that she was going to get a certain feeling from it when he finally said, you know, okay, I feel the same way. Or she thought maybe that was going to heal something or, you know, close something up, some sort of closure somehow. And then whenever she got what she wanted and realized that it didn't do much else for her.
She still needed more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it makes sense, and good for her. She, you know, understanding what she wants, deserves, what he wants, deserves, and you know, not dragging it out unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think she's like genuinely liked Leroy. Like, I don't think it was on false pretenses, but you know, how she was saying she went through a lot, and I think your fiance is probably right that she realized that there was still more that she needed to work through. And you probably, because I think a lot of people might fall into this trap, like, oh, if I can just, you know, find a relationship or a man, then all this stuff will be all good. And find a man, and you're like, oh, dang, I still got all this other stuff I got to deal with that didn't fix it all.
Yeah.
And to Leroy's credit, I think he handled this very well. I like that he was honest, but also understanding. He was like, I mean, this upsets me, but I understand that you're where you are in your self-discovery journey, and I want the best for you. And, you know, I wish it was me being a part of that, but I see that it's not. And he said he just wants her to be happy, and he was just happy to be in her presence. I was like, aw.
Yeah, he definitely responded well. He definitely responded maturely. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he was still upset, obviously, but I definitely think they both handled that really well and surprisingly. And they were the strongest couple, it seemed, from the start to not leave together. It's kind of crazy, but like you said, they really did go through the whole relationship thing from beginning to end on the show.
And then Steph walks out and she said, it's not always easy and it doesn't feel good, but it feels great once you finally achieve growth. And we want someone to love us and give us love, but it has to start within yourself. And she's excited to grow and become the best woman she could possibly be. Yeah. And that is our show.
That's our show. So now tell me the updates. What happened?
Updates.
Where are they now?
First, do you want to guess or do you just want me to tell you? First, how do you think Crew and Brooke are doing?
I think that they are one or two ways. Remember Madeline and what's his name? Colby. I feel like they either are happy, pregnant, new baby kid, or like they immediately broke up.
Mm-hmm. That is a Madeline and Colby from The Ultimatum, which we also recap, that you can find wherever you get your podcasts. So Crew and Brooke are no longer together due to, quote, mutual differences. Mm. This is from an interview that Crew gave ABC4 in Utah. But he thinks she is fantastic and they still talk, but decided to go their different ways and to see what would be better for them. That was as of December 16th. However, I went to Crew's IG and on his New Year's Eve Instagram post, which also seems to be his birthday, he's put in the caption that in 2022, he got to be the star of a reality show, which is on his bucket list. Mm-hmm. And then he listed a few other things that he did. And then he said he also got the baddest girl and tagged a woman named Olivia Ann. And he said he fell in love. Unclear if he fell in love with Brooke or Miss Olivia Ann. So it makes me think that South African Josh was right and that he wasn't here for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm. He was here to be famous.
If his goal was to be the star of a reality show.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, I feel like he only has 4,037 Instagram followers, which for a person on a reality show is like 10.
Hello.
So either a lot of people aren't watching this show or people aren't vibing with crew. So, yeah.
Well, look at there. I knew I felt off. I knew it.
I know. Mm-hmm. Always follow your gut. Mm-hmm. Kept it up from the first episode. Ugh, and gross. Brooke has no trace of crew on her Instagram.
Yeah, I know, because I was trying to find him and I couldn't find a tag on him. So I was like, dang. And then you mentioned that this Olivia girl, she ain't got no picture of crew either. But anyways.
Yeah. Now, Sparkle and Steven, what do you think the update is on them?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I just saw he was like, I achieved 3.3 million views on the talk.
God, yeah.
Okay. Steven and Sparkle. I think, again, it was like it just flamed out.
All right. Update is kind of not an update. It is unclear if they are still together or not.
Oh.
So they both follow each other on Instagram, but she also follows some of the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Steven and Akio posted a video working out together, so they're at least cool. Allegedly, Sparkle shared an Instagram story of Steven and Steph, and she said that she loves these two. And then she shared another Instagram story where she was getting ready for a wedding, and she said she might be ready to be in the next wedding and put a bride emoji. So what does that mean? We don't know.
What?
But at the very least, it seems like they're no
good terms. Yeah. Well, that's what I assumed, even if they dated and broke up, that no matter what, it would still be cordial because mm-hmm. of what she's dealing with Steph, you know, in that relationship. And also, you know, most relationships don't have to end horribly. Like, yeah. They can end amicably as long as there's mutual respect mm-hmm. or there's no ending to it at all.
Right.
She did a live with Lee. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I'm sure that was fun. I should go back and watch that.
Yeah.
And also, I have a little rumorish update on Steph. Since filming, Steph has posted a few IG pics in and around Philly, which, as we stated earlier, where Leroy is from. And they seem to have been in the same location a few times at the same time, but they never posted anything together and haven't said anything. So who knows what's going on there, but there might be some hope for those two.
Wow.
Yeah, those are wow. the updates. So this was a good time. I hope you guys enjoyed getting back in the groove with us.
Yeah, hilarious.
Yeah, and then so
next. Did you know that, I'm sorry, that her breast implants caused her to have breast cancer?
I saw that when I was doing my research.
On
yeah.
Her, yeah, on her Instagram. I didn't think she said that. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
she that's like awareness that needs to be like shouted from the rooftops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if they couldn't put it because like if there was like no quote unquote like proof. I don't know. But
oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, it wasn't mentioned on the show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for sure.
Wow.
Be safe, y'all.
Crazy.
Yeah. And then so that was Back in the Groove. We hope you guys enjoyed it and keep up with us because we're jumping right back into Are You the One? So
we'll be back
next week with that. It is on Paramount Plus. They're dropping the first batch of, I don't know if it's a batch or one episode, but either way on January 18th. And so we'll be covering that one episode per week. We will not be doing big bunches like we did for the other shows. So.
Right. No, for sure. And sorry if y'all heard that. That was me like going on their Instagram to see if they had already released the cast and everything, which it looks like they did. So we may get a little cast preview in. Who knows? But we're so excited. It's one of our favorite shows. I'm so happy it's back. I believe in their love and the science behind it. So we'll see.
Yeah. And all right. And so we hope to see you guys back with that. And we will talk to you guys next week. Later.
Bye.